Lord, this morning we seek that we may find. We knock that the door may be open. We ask that we may receive. And what we seek this morning, what we knock for this morning, and what we ask this morning is that may the ancient word impact us, your holy word, the undefiled word, the inspired word, the words that give eternal life. May we be impacted by your word this morning like never before. So we pray. Open the ears of our hearts that we may hear you speak to us today. Open the eyes of our hearts, O God, that we may see you in your word today. That we may be transformed. That we may be revived, that we may be equipped for every good work. May you manifest your presence this hour through the preaching of your word, and let your people be blessed. In Jesus' name, and let God's people say amen. This morning I will be speaking on the title, Make Time for God's Word. And the text on which the sermon will be based on is Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Make time for God's Word. In Psalm 119, verse 9, David asked himself a very important question when he said, how can a man keep his way pure? And in response to his own question, he said, by keeping it in accordance with the word of God. And in verse 11 of that same chapter, he goes on to say, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. And going down in verse 105 of that same chapter, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we look at the Gospels, in John chapter 6, verse 68, Peter said something to Jesus that was very profound. In response to Jesus' question whether they, referring to his disciples, would also leave him because of the teachings that he was teaching, Peter in response said, where shall we go, Lord, for you have the words of eternal life. When you put these verses together, it is very clear that the Bible points to the indispensability of the word of God in the life of God's children. The importance of God's word cannot be overemphasized because it is what keeps us pure. The word is important because it helps us avoid sinning against God. The word is important because it directs our path, especially as we live in the sinful world. The word is important because, above all, It gives us eternal life and it assures us of our security in Christ. It is in the Word of God that we realize that we have been saved, that we are secured in Christ, and that our salvation cannot be stolen or taken away by anyone. Our eternal security is guaranteed in the Word, which explains why ever since I came here as to Glen Burnie Baptist Church, beginning as advisor and now serving you as interim pastor, I have made it crystal clear that the revival that we need, that the transformation that we need, the revitalization that we need must be based on the Word, must be shaped by the Word, must be inspired by the Word, must be driven by the Word, because that is how God raised the church. That is how God increased the number in the early church in the days of the apostles. In Acts chapter 2, we are told that the early church Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And what did God do? God added to their number daily. It was by being faithful in the Word and in prayer that they grew as a church. And so that is why we have restructured some things and we have emphasized heavily on the importance of prayer and on the importance of Scripture. On Mondays, women have the opportunity to come together every evening to study God's Word as a group. On Tuesdays, those who are open may join me here from 8 in the morning to 9 for a time of prayer, praying for our church, praying for our facility. On Wednesdays, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., those who are available, especially the retirees or those who are not working at that time, may come here for a time of study of God's Word. On that same Wednesday in the evening from 6:30 to 7:30, those who could not make it in the morning or who would like to have a second dose of the Word of God may come back in the evening to study God's Word and to spend time to pray. On Sundays before the service, we have Sunday school. We have 3 adult Sunday school classes that are currently going on, and opportunities for our children, our young men and women to study God's Word. Why? Because we believe that revival can only come when we are committed to the study of God's Word and in prayer. But the question is, of what good is all of these opportunities? Of what good is the opportunity to study on Mondays as women? Of what good is the opportunity to join me here on Tuesdays every morning in prayer? Of what good is the opportunity to study on Wednesdays in the morning and in the evenings and on Sundays if you do not make time for God's Word? Of what good is that? What will bring revival in the church are not those times. It is you taking advantage of the opportunity to study His Word and grow in fellowship and in prayer. And so this morning, I come here in humility to appeal to you by the mercies of God. Especially as we pray for revival, as we hope for revival, revival must begin with you. You will need to experience a personal revival, which means a recommitment to the Word of God, a recommitment to prayer, a recommitment to fellowship. The Bible said, do not neglect the assembly of God's people. Revival begins when you see the importance, the necessity to take advantage of the opportunities that we have created for you to grow as an individual and as a body. And so I appeal to you through the sermon this morning. Let the study of God's word be your priority above all else. Do not be carried away by the busy nature of our schedule to a point where you have no time for the word of God. Don't be distracted by much serving to a point where you have no time to listen to the master. If you are here this morning and you are truly a child of God, you love God. And the reason why you have not been that involved in the study and prayer ministries of our church is because you've been busy. You've been busy with work. You've been busy with taking care of the kids or handling family responsibilities. I am not here to condemn you. I'm not here to judge you, but I am here to encourage you to ask God for his help. I am here to encourage you to go to God and say, God, how can we do this? Help me, give me the grace, the strength to be able to still be faithful at work, to still be a faithful wife and a faithful husband. How can I be able to do all of my responsibilities and still have time for you? Help me, O God. I came to tell you that God does not condemn you, but God wants to help you be a better Christian. If you are here this morning and you are dealing with that situation, I'm here to tell you this morning that you are not alone. You are not the first individual to be in a situation where you love Jesus. You want to spend time with him, but you just don't have the time. You are distracted by other things, or you are carried away by other important things. You are not alone, because over 2,000 years ago, there was a woman in the Bible called Martha. Martha had the same problem as you have. What Jesus told Martha in response to her situation is what the Lord has laid in my heart to tell you today. And my hope and my prayer is that you will listen to what the Lord has to say to you today, as he said to Martha thousands of years ago, and allow the Holy Spirit to help you digest his word so that you can experience the change and the revival that you need to meet the expectations of Christ. And so in our text, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, we are told that Jesus visited the home of Mary and Martha. These two women were sisters, and they were really excited that Jesus would visit them in their home. And they responded to Jesus' presence in two different ways. Mary was so excited about Jesus' presence in their home that she said, this is a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I will not miss this for anything. Every other thing can wait. At this time, all I want to do is I just want to hear him speak to me. And so she sat at the feet of the master and just listening. She was just taking in the words that came from his mouth. Not because he didn't care about him. She felt it was necessary to first listen to the master. Meanwhile, her sister, Martha, was excited about the presence of Christ So excited that she said, oh, I'm going to make him really comfortable. What can I make for him? What kind of food do I cook? So she ran up it perhaps to the kitchen, started fixing lunch or dinner, whatever the time was. And in the course of being involved in doing some household chores because of the master, she missed the opportunity to listen to what the master was saying to Mary. And then she came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister joins me in the kitchen to prepare the meal we need to prepare for you as our valued guest? And then Jesus looked at her and Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are concerned about so many things. Jesus never said that the things that Martha was doing was wrong. She said she was worried about them and she was distracted by them. And she said, but only one thing is necessary. And he said, that which is necessary, your sister has chosen it. And so while it is good for you to be involved in all the things you're doing, be mindful of that which is necessary. And she said, that which is necessary, your sister has chosen it, and it will not be taken away from her. These are very important words that Jesus said to Martha, which you and I today must understand in context and to really apply it in our lives and in our situation today. The Princeton-trained theologian in the name of Albert Barnes described Jesus' response in this way. He said, this was probably designed as a slight reproof or a tender hint that she was improperly anxious about those things and that she should, with Mary, rather choose to hear the discourses of heavenly wisdom. When you look at this, the application of what Jesus was saying is timeless, says another theologian. He says, whenever the duties of man, whether real or imagined, whether less or greater, the one great obligation of all who were ever born is that they shall heed the word of the Son of God. Much of the failure of modern Christianity lies in the fact that Christians are busy with all kinds of things, many of them important and necessary, of course, but yet they have no time for the Word of God. I want to ask you the question, are you like Martha? You're busy with things that are important, very important for your career, very important for your health, very important for your family, in fact, very important for your church, but so busy that you do not have time to listen to the Word of God, that you don't have time to spend time with God's own people to study His Word. I really want to encourage you to consider the expedience of what Jesus is saying in this text and make time for God's Word. Against the backdrop of your busy schedule, Make time for God's word. Because if you make time for God's word and give it a priority over all, what is going to happen is that when you listen to God's word, you will learn how to do the important things you do well. When you make time for God's word first, you will learn from God himself how to do the important things you need to do well. But when you allow the important things that you are doing distract you or engage your time to a point where you have no time to listen to the master, what will happen is that you will be doing the important things that you are doing your own way and not necessarily God's own way. You will be doing the important things that you are doing thinking that you are doing God's will, but not knowing that you are doing your will. Because the only way in which you can know God's will is when you pause to listen to what he has to say. So if you don't have time in your schedule where you receive from the Lord on how to be a mother, on how to be an employee, on how to be a good citizen in society, on how to be an effective church member, if you don't have time in your schedule to learn on how to be a Christian, you will be doing your Christian work in your own way and not necessarily God's own way. And one thing is true, beloved. When we do God's work in God's own way, we will not lack God's support. When you make it your duty and say, Lord, I know I have these commitments, but I will make it as a matter of priority to listen to you, God will make a way for you. God will support your endeavors. Make a way for you. And I want to encourage you, let God help you be a better Christian. What Mary chose was the good thing, Jesus said, and it will not be taken away from her. What is it that will not be taken away from her? By listening to the words of Christ, Mary would develop faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And what does faith give us? Faith gives us salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith comes from listening the word. Faith gives us salvation. And the salvation that we get as a result of our faith in him cannot be taken away from us. So what Jesus was saying is that by listening to me, Mary is receiving faith, therefore having salvation, and our salvation will not be taken away from her. So her eternal security, her assurance of faith was based on the fact that she sat at the Lord's feet listening to her. And that is why it is important for you to stay in the Word. You might be here today and you doubt your salvation. You doubt where you might end up if you were to close your eyes in death. By spending time in the Word, by devoting yourself in Scriptures, you will get the assurance that if the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. That nothing can take away the faith, the righteousness, the eternal life you get from the word of God himself. Some of you may be familiar with the words of Stuart Townend, the modern day hymn writer, who captions this thought very well. He said, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. It is in the Word of God that you get this kind of assurance. If you don't make time for God's Word, the world will fill your minds with doubts about yourself. The world will fill your minds with doubts about your eternal destiny. It is only in God, through His Word, that you get the certainty, the assurance of faith you need, and the hope of glory, only from His Word. Therefore, I charge you, beloved, make time for God's Word. Pray for the grace to have a personal Bible study time. Pray for the grace to have to join the church in the corporate Bible study time. Ask God for help, and He will help you. William Longstaff. Another songwriter has advised us well. And I'm going to round up this sermon by just reminding you of this advice. In his song, he said, take time to be holy. Speak often with thy God. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Why not just take a moment and bow down your heads in reflection and application of this sermon. And I'm going to allow this song to minister to you. And as this song ministers to you, I'd like for you to pray the prayer, Lord, help me to make time for the Word. Help me in my weekly schedule to make time for the Word.
Take time to be oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. Follow the Lord and look
Please stand to your feet, everyone. As we conclude this service, you're here, and after the sermon, and you feel like you need to surrender your life to Christ. Maybe your problem is not even that you don't make time for God's word. God is not your Savior and your Lord. And you would like to commit your life to Jesus. After the service, I will be glad to speak with you and to lead you through that process. If you are here this morning and you have been touched by this word, please, please make time for God's word. Take advantage of the opportunities we are offering for you to grow in His word, because His word is a lamp to your feet, is a light to your path. His word gives you salvation, assures you of your salvation, and assures you of your eternal security in Him. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for challenging us today from your word. Help us not to ignore the important things, but help us that our commitment to doing the important things will be preceded by first listening to you, to gain the inspiration, the motivation, the assurance we need to serve you in this church, in our homes, at our places of work, and in our community. So teach us, Lord, and help us to have the passion that Martha had, but also help us to have the understanding that Mary had, so that by listening to you, we will be passionate to serve you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us as we go. May you experience God this week like never before. And may God give you the willingness, the sense of sacrifice you need in order to make time for His word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.